everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode features a chat with Father Lee's Lauren Vino and was recorded July 12th, 2017. Here's episode 50 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
What day is it, Chris?
It's Wednesday, July 12th, about 8 a.m. It is day 174 of Donald Trump's universal title, or is that U.S. title?
No, universal title.
There was some controversy. We will get to that in a bit, of which title he actually holds.
Fair enough.
This is a podcast about the intersections of politics and professional wrestling. We wrote a book about that topic. What's it called, Brandon?
The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. I have to look away from you when I say that incredibly long title. It is available at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com and or PresidentWrestler.com and or type the entire long title into Amazon and or Audible and you will find it.
You guys know how Google works. It's cool. So we also, along with that book, we've written about this in many different places. Most recently, Brandon wrote a piece, A Trump Mania Dog Whistle for U.S. News. I wrote a piece called Trump Breaks Kayfabe for Slate. That was all a week ago when...
When America was just enthralled with great balls of fire.
Yeah, remember when everyone was like, oh my God, it's a GIF. This is the craziest thing he's ever done today.
Today!
But that's not... That's as this goes. It's not our big show anymore.
Well, it's a big show.
It's the big show, and it's Donald Trump Jr.
What?
the big show is over the weekend and early part of this week. News that Donald Trump Jr. had a meeting in June 2016 with a Russian lawyer, and then he leaked his own emails. Is basically what happened.
Okay, so the wrestling analog is there isn't one because. I think Shane would be smart enough not to do this and definitely not bring in Paul.
Yes.
I think they're smart enough to not do this.
Yeah, well, if you listen and you believe this Russian lawyer, who, by the way, is clearly like a plant from the Russian government because that's how they do things. I think Triple H, Jared Kushner, left the meeting. He was like, okay, I should not be in the room for this.
Yeah. Which is very... Very, it's definitely something Triple H would do over Shane.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you got to know how to play the game. But basically, Donald Trump Jr., this is just amazing. I had to include this. He posted these things. New York Times contacted him. They'd been working on the story to prove the existence of a meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and Russian operatives, basically, undermining the president's claim that there's no connection with his campaign in Russia, which is obviously false. But he puts these emails up to preempt their story. The subject line, forward, Russia, Clinton, private and confidential. Which is just hilarious because it's like, was it his like aunt on Facebook who sent him this?
Don't make fun of aunts. Aunts are a big supporter of our show. Thank you, aunts out there.
Thanks, aunts. The documents, quote, would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but it is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. Not seeing a red flag yet, Donnie Jr. said, if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. So we had the meeting and he loved it.
Okay, so the meeting thing, this is not necessarily... This what I'm saying is not proven yet. It's just a fun little anecdote.
Sure.
When this meeting happened, which was on what?
It was in June 2016. What was the date?
June 9th, 69, baby.
Nice.
Before that, Donald Trump never mentioned the 33,000 deleted emails from Hillary Clinton. And then after this, he mentioned it a lot.
Every day.
So It's not. We're not saying that this is definitely the thing that made that happen. It's just a fun timeline thing to look at.
It's a fun timeline thing. Yeah, I think we've have to change our rubric for analyzing and explaining the wrestling connection has been the Battle of the Billionaires. It's what that GIF came from that we both wrote about recently. But maybe this isn't the Battle of the Billionaires, and it's actually Shane and Vince McMahon's street fight at WrestleMania X7, not 17, X7, with a comatose Linda looking on and Vince McMahon viciously beating his own son with a garbage can. Because this is the funny thing. I saw people who were like, oh, well, if they come after Donald Jr., imagine what Trump will do to save him. Nothing. He'll do nothing to save him. How is anyone getting that wrong? That seems really simple to me.
It's a fun time. This is, we're laughing. This is how it happened in the last 48 hours now?
Yeah. If that, no, the, didn't the...
The emails came out yesterday at 11 a.m., yeah, but so, the story came out the right. day before that, mm-hmm. if not the day before that. It won't go away. Do you have an iPhone?
Sure.
We all have iPhones here. If you go to the top stories, if you scroll to all the left, like the mm-hmm. top story is Ranker at White House as Russia's story refuses to let the page turn. That's from the New York Times.
The page turner? She calls it the page turner?
We're trying to get to that. Trump Jr.'s transparency erodes trust with the media. You know who it hasn't eroded trust with in any way?
Who's that?
The base.
Yeah, Trump supporters. One of the things that we've been talking about is the concept of X-Pac heat. Of the bad heat, not the good heat that Donald Trump gets every time he picks a feud with people who no one cares about, like Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, and he's a good heel. X-Pac heat would be, oh, you're the worst, get off my TV, I don't like you anymore, I don't even want to see you get your comeuppance, I just want you off the TV. And yes, it looks like, I'm starting to think there's no X-Pac heat for this guy, because if you would tell someone, even like 2 years ago, hey, the Republican president colluded with Russians. Remember your enemies for like 50 years? The guys you don't like, they're communists, they're godless. He colluded with them to become president and undermine democracy. You know, you'd have some guys, that's crazy. Obviously, we wouldn't stand for that. But they have now spun this, so somehow this meeting on like Fox News and other right-wing sites, this was like a setup. Clinton set this up somehow and like undermine her own. She lost because she set up this meeting. It's like very strange logic. I don't know. Other than it's Clinton derangement and it's all Clinton's fault. And it's like, there's no bottom.
So I would have thought that 2 years ago, if you told anyone, hey, the Republican nominee made fun of the Pope and won, that would be the thing.
I still disagree, but yeah.
It's Russia.
But yeah, but it's not even that. I mean, and people now are making the joke about the P-tape that allegedly exists. I don't think it's, like, is it having sex with a man but, like, being the bottom? Like, this is not even being facetious. Oh. I don't know what could actually turn people off from this guy. Because, like, even if he was having sex with a Russian prostitute who was a man and he was the top, they would go, yeah, he's a man.
I don't think that's the issue. I don't think if he's a bottom or a top, if he's gay or he's straight. I don't think any of that matters. I think the only thing that could really hurt him is a live mic of him saying, like, these people are idiots. That's it. And I don't think he's ever said that, because I don't think he believes that.
Actually does
and that's
it either.
Not, and I do think that does.
I think what happens is it's that great American tradition we've had for nearly 300 years of just like, or 250, whatever, of just like the American idiot type of thing of like the, there's a reason like college is unpopular in certain populations, because it's like the idea of these like people in ivory towers and stuff. There is a embrace of ignorance that even if he was like, you're all a bunch of idiots who support me, they'd be like, oh, that's great, man. I love this guy. He really speaks truths of power.
I'm glad that we'll never agree on what will bring down the president.
I think we agree on nothing.
Is great.
The idea that nothing will bring down the president.
I do know. I think that there is one thing. It's clearly not going onto Fifth Avenue and shooting people in the street. If anything, that'll elect him for a third term.
Yeah, and I was on Fifth Avenue. I took a picture of Titan Towers.
No one liked that photo you posted.
What are you checking my analytics? No one did like it. People don't like being flippant about the president, even though they call him all funny names that aren't sticking, by the way. So yeah, that's the big show this week. So we'll see what happens now. As you pointed out from the LA Times, emails released Tuesday by President Trump's son may offer the clearest sign to date of possible criminal violations arising from Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. Federal law makes it a crime for any person to, quote, solicit, accept, or receive a contribution or, quote, anything of value from a foreign person for a U.S. political campaign or, quote, for the purpose of influencing any election for federal office. Under the law, those who knowingly and willfully engage in these activities may be subject to fines or imprisonment.
Okay, so this is conspiracy.
Yes.
That's the deterrent. It's not collusion. It's conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the thing that every lawyer is that is on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, and NPR is talking about. This is actually the first thing that's like, hey, that's illegal.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that this will stick to anyone.
Yes.
In any way whatsoever. But
this is the case law. This is the law that exists. My thing is not even saying that it would stick or in one stick, is that I think the first thing I would do if I was their lawyer is say that there was nothing of value promised, solicited, or given. Because information, there was no, a lot of this campaign stuff is foreign nationals giving money buying ads for or stuff like that, that has a material, there's a material thing.
Sure.
There's a widget there. And this
isn't just the email subject line enough to say, hey, they thought there was something there.
I mean, anything of value, you'd have to argue that information has value, and it gets like an,
this will be fun. So yeah. This is the 90s when Bill Clinton defined the
and is. Yeah.
So this will be fun.
Yeah.
Does information have value?
The dream of the 90s is alive. A dream that isn't alive.
Ugh.
Nailed it. Time to for a wall update.
We are going to build a great border wall,
you know,
to stop illegal immigration.
Yeah. One. Break the wall. Break down the walls.
We do these wall updates just so Brandon can edit in Chris Jericho sound effects.
It's the we got a healthcare update coming up. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. We're not finished with that yet. So Huffington Post, Jennifer Bendery was at a rules committee meeting. Pete Sessions, congressman from Texas, said, I do support the wall. And I believe this is Louise Slaughter said, that's kind of lonely for you, isn't it? And he said, I'm not lonely.
That's it.
That's the update. It's like a little haiku from a rules committee meeting. So while Donald Trump Jr. was doing a news dump on a Tuesday morning on Twitter for everybody to see, the WWE did a Friday news dump, which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Where Austin Aries, guy brought in about a year ago, had been let go.
Do you know why?
Because he's a dick.
Oh,
he's
really?
He's also allegedly a Sandy Hook truther. So fuck that guy.
But shouldn't he have gotten along with AJ Styles, the flat earth truther?
AJ just has questions about, he thinks it's an interesting idea. No, so Austin Aries apparently also didn't get fired from like Canyon Seaman or some mid-level guy like the Kushner of the WWE did it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Austin Aries has been let go. He'll be on indie dates, probably 30 to 60 days. Had a good little run there, but didn't want to just be a cruiserweight, apparently.
He was really great.
Yeah, I think he did all, I mean, not the future of your company at 39, but he did some good work, and at 5'9", generously. But, apparently he's a real dick. So they got rid of him because they still do that once in a
while.
If
we did this show, every week, and we ended everything with that guy's a real dick. That could be literally everyone we talk about.
This holds, yeah, it holds. Couple of dicks in a match at Madison Square Garden on Friday night, where AJ Styles beat Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. So to our non-wrestling fans, or maybe not as like, so they do these things called house shows that are not on TV. Traditionally, this is what the business was. You had your TV stuff just to sell tickets to your shows around the country in usually smaller venues. This is Madison Square Garden. It was their longtime home base of operations. That's why the smarkiest of smarks will call WWE New York colloquially. And title changes do not usually happen on these house shows because there's no cameras there. I mean, there are cameras there, but it's not generally for TV or for pay-per-views.
And back in the 80s when they occasionally would do these, like they wouldn't be reported on TV.
Right. It would just like, it would be like a weekend. The belt would change hands twice and go back to the original guy. And then it was like, it never happened.
But now that the internet exists,
this does happen. And semi-recently they changed the NXT title in this way. But this is the first time in like 5 years since they've done it in the main roster with a pretty major belt. The belt that has now become kind of the centerpiece of SmackDown Live. So Kevin Owens, face of America, not taking it well, and he's now blacked out his Twitter account and sent some tweets, which I'm not sure who he's talking about.
Okay, before you read these, we'd like to point out that Kevin Owens, the face of America, is from Canada.
Yeah.
And a bad guy.
Well, you know what? I think it's shades of gray. He's a good guy, and here's why. Quote, my Twitter account is blacked out to represent the future of the U.S. now that the United States title is held by a terrible human being. The United States of America deserve a champion they can be proud of. Someone good. Someone kind. Someone with dignity. That someone is me. Tonight, I begin my path to reclaiming my title and promise to everyone, but more importantly, the children, that I will get it back. Is Donald Trump the universal champion or the U.S. champion? Because that first tweet, he started to sound like Sami Zayn getting all political and resisting.
Sami Zayn last night, some interesting stuff on SmackDown Live, Talking Smack, whatever the hell it's called. Talking Smack.
Talking Smack.
Yeah. Kind of alluding to things in the state of the world right now and looking over me and like, oh, shit, my boss's mom is in the cabinet.
Yeah. He also said that he likes the Huey Lewis in the news. So lot happened on Talking Smack. But yes, Kevin Owens, temporarily not the face of America. I hope that shirt goes on discount now.
I'm waiting. Yeah. So I checked the WWE shop last night. Still nothing from Great Balls of Fire.
I
want some commemorative plaques. They have commemorative plaques for every pay-per-view.
Get the broad one.
That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Here's a dead man.
Yes. We will get to that.
Oh, shit. Is Braun going to come back as The Undertaker?
I'm not finished with you. Dong. Yeah, that sounds good. But before we get to Great Balls Fallout, so, like what he did there?
G-Boff,
Fallout. Someone good, someone kind, someone with dignity who should be representing the future of the U.S. Is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And thankfully, someone has taken the steps of creating a Run The Rock 2020 political committee with the FEC. It was started by just some guy, Kenton Tilford, a 26-year-old political consultant and freelance writer. So it's like, I did this, basically.
Except this guy's going to make some money.
Yeah, because these guys, this happens. When Kanye wanted to run, some guy just did it. These are just little committees. They don't mean anything, except it's fun to get Politico talking about this.
Well, I'm in the midst of reading Shattered, which is real weird right now.
Uh-huh.
In Shattered, we find out very early on in the book that, yes, sometimes these are created by just like friends of the campaign or people that are supporters, true believers. Sometimes those do lead to real jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the Ready for Hillary campaign was promised jobs. That did not happen. But out of the 30 or so, a handful of them did get actual jobs with the campaign. So yes, a lot of the times it is just like opportunists taking advantage, as they should.
Right.
But sometimes this does lead to a job in politics.
Yeah. And so this guy, in an email interview, I believe, with CNN said, I've been discussing this committee with friends for some time, but I ultimately decided to create the committee because America is incredibly divided. I know it's almost a cliche at this point, but I think it's tragic that our president has not made a serious effort to unite the country. With this level of vitriol and anger, I believe we desperately need a leader who can unite us and not just pander to a small base of supporters. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So
great.
He's on the right page. So as far as pandering to a small base of supporters, the WWE had a pay-per-view event on Sunday by the WWE Network. Our jobs depend on it. $9.99. It was Great Balls of Fire, G-Boff. We've been talking about it for a few weeks. Did you watch the whole thing?
No.
Yeah, it's just too much pay-per-view.
I watched a lot of it.
Yeah, I was in New York City, and I didn't have time to watch the pay-per-view.
I thought you were going to watch it live.
Life happens, man. There was an ambulance match.
I saw all the ones that mattered.
Yeah, I did that too. I, you know, once I had flipped through the ambulance match for the spots I wanted, and honestly, the clips they showed on Raw, that was enough. I didn't need to see all the fake tape stuff they did. Live to tape.
So, I liked a lot of it.
So the ambulance match, Braun and Roman. Roman was like hitting Braun in his arm with a chair, and then Braun was just no-selling it. It was great.
And then Roman lost clean in the only clean way you could lose in an ambulance match.
The cleanest way is when you spear yourself into the back of an ambulance and the door is closed with no contact from the big brown strongman.
So if and when Donald Trump turns this into a GIF, Roman Reigns body slammed himself alone into an ambulance and then it was shut and then he got very upset that he lost clean.
And then he attacked. Yeah. Then he attacked and then he put Braun back in the ambulance and backed up the ambulance, and it sounds like a kid telling a story. And then the big strong man, they had to get the jaws of life to get him out, and he walked away on his own power. Which, looking back, like, say a WrestleMania 13 moment, this would be your double turn.
Sure.
Roman Reigns, the ostensible good guy, attempting murder. That's a heel move. And Braun Strowman surviving and walking away in his own power, like into the woods, like some like Frankenstein's monster. Yeah, that would he'd be the good guy. But
to be fair, his motto and what's on his shirt is the monster among men. So yeah, he should go to the mountains to heal.
Have you seen the metal remix of I'm Not Finished With You
Yet?
Yes,
it's very good.
Yes. So a healthcare update.
Healthcare is working along very well. We could have a big surprise with a great healthcare package. So now they're happy.
What do you mean by big surprise, sir?
I think you're going to have a great, great surprise. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God! It's Braun Strowman! The monster among men is back!
They told us he'd be out 6 months.
You've seen the forgotten. I'm not finished with you!
So the only update here is McConnell delays August recess to complete work on healthcare bill and other issues like the debt ceiling. But, you know, it's fine. Let's put the debt ceiling in other issues.
this is really important. If you don't want the GOP to take away Obamacare, you should contact them. If you want repeal, you should contact them.
What if they're not taking away? What if they're giving the people the choice to not have healthcare?
If you want that, you should contact them.
Okay,
this is,
I'm going to.
So there's even more chances for you to be part of the WWE universe. And
yeah, you get to vote. What
senator.
Kind of match are they going to have? Are they going to have a taking away your healthcare match, or a you give up your healthcare match? Is it? That was always my favorite. This era. Okay, there was a small era when the WWE discovered like the internet
polls.
And texting and that you could do polls very easily. They would do like, all right, tonight's main event, you decide at home, will it be a no disqualification match, a no holds barred match, a false count anywhere match? And then people would vote, and it's like those are all the same things. It's amazing that they are like, yep, this is a poll.
So the only interesting little thing I have to add about that is I've read so many bad wrestling books when we were researching our book. I read the Roddy Piper book that came out after his passing. I didn't realize one of the only reasons he was brought back in a lot of the times was like they had these polls of like, which legend would you like to see? So that's why like him and Flair had the belt in like 2008.
Yeah.
For like 2 weeks.
Because you got to listen to the people.
It's weird. I had no idea that like people would vote on having crippled men rejoin the roster and win belts.
2016. Also in G-Boff. Samoa Joe got a good 7-minute match and some extra minutes.
It was great. It was my favorite Lesnar match since Punk at SummerSlam in like 12.
Yeah, so I actually like the triple threat at Rumble 2014 with Cena and Rollins.
I don't care about
but
that.
But this one is good.
And it wasn't
Joe
just
like
destroying a man like he did for John Cena, and he made him bleed and made this kid cry.
No, this Samoa Joe actually got to look like a legit contender. But a guy who was overmatched, which is what this booking should be. But it still got a lot of heat on Monday night. Braun Strowman, the winner of the ambulance match, was not there because he's in the woods, like I said. And Roman was there, and he wanted a shot. Samoa Joe wants a shot. They're going to have a number one contender match on Monday.
We would play you the clip of Brock saying you don't deserve shit, but it got bleeped out and it got taken out of the Hulu version, even though shit was
bleeped out
live. So what's the point? Yeah. Why take that out?
I don't know. That's why they ever give Brock a mic or put him in these little interview clips.
You know,
it's always to say like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Yeah, I shit
guys out.
I'm gonna
make you my bitch.
Yeah, he says all types of things. But it was a good little match. There's still heat on Monday. Samoa Joe is getting way over, and Roman Reigns was there. But next week it looks like they'll have Reigns versus Joe. Expect Braun Strowman to not be finished with him yet. I really want a fatal four with these guys at SummerSlam. I think that's actually money, because you can
what if it's not, what if it's a three-way and then Braun just backs up in an ambulance,
runs the ring over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of like the beer truck or the milk truck, it's just like,
and Brock Lesnar
blood
just on the side just laughs.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. This is fucking fake. Yeah, no, a four-way, though, between the Samoan Joes, Braun Strowman, and Brock Lesnar would be good. You can protect more
guys.
I
love that idea.
Yeah, so that's why it's not going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
But on Monday night, the other fallout from Great Balls of Fire, the Hardy Boys making their most explicit references to being broken, to the fact where they're like Jeff Hardy said his catchphrase from when he was broken.
Mm-hmm.
We have that here.
So we know what the tag teams in the back are thinking. The Hardy Boys are done. The nostalgia pop has passed. And maybe we should just fade away and classify ourselves as obsolete. Well, neither of us are 100%. We're a little stitched up, a little bruised, and somewhat broken.
That won't mean anything to anybody, but going to include
Thanks for making me add that.
Yeah. We're getting a little Shield, two-thirds of the Shield reunion, which we had 2 years ago.
Cool.
I think it's actually good because they need more face teams.
Sure. Because
there's no teams except the Hardys in the face side of the equation. That's,
yeah.
That's it. Because they broke them all up. Yeah. Someone was joking online that they would Vince probably wants to break up the guys who do the Sonic commercials. No tag.
TJ and Dave from Chicago, Illinois.
There you go. Are you from Chicago?
Fuck you. Oh, if you're in Chicago, I'm there on Thursday, July. Is Ted today? Is today the 14th?
No, today is not the day you're in Chicago. Today is Wednesday, July 12th.
On Thursday, July 13th, I'll be in Chicago hosting You, Me, Them, Everybody at the Hungry Brain, and it'll be fun.
Yes. So I wasn't just making fun of you for, I was giving you an opportunity to make a plug.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate
it. I was totally making fun of you. Also, the storyline, this is leading to a transition I'm not going to like, but the storyline from Raw that's been going on for many weeks is someone is texting Kurt Angle, blackmailing him. And it's going to break up his family, but he did tell the person he loves them. So it's either Stephanie or Dixie Carter, right? Who is this person that he loves? Is it Triple H? Like, is it, what are we doing here?
There's a lot of fun theories right now of like what's going to happen.
So Dixie Carter appeared in this Kurt Angle 24. Have you watched it? I'm going to watch it. It's apparently pretty good. Cause it's about Kurt Angle's, rise and fall and rise again. His addictions and health issues over the years. But Dixie Carter, who is currently has no employment in the wrestling business.
This is going to be bad.
So she's probably coming to WWE.
Oh, crap.
They're in, I think they're in Memphis.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so it's probably Dixie Carter, but it's also the WWE, so it's probably Stephanie. Because Stephanie and Kurt had an angle, and no pun intended.
They loved each other?
Well, that he was like, she was like passing out and he kissed her. A lot of Stephanie's storylines are very date rapey, i.e. all of them. So Kurt Angle, love Angle, coming to WWE Raw. Don't watch Raw. Watch 3 Minute Raw on our Facebook page, Great American Bash podcast on Facebook. So yeah, I didn't want to transition right from the Kurt Angle love story to this, but there is some wrestling news that's crossing over to mainstream news this week. TMZ covering the ongoing saga of Paige, WWE currently employed WWE wrestler Paige, and her husband?
Fiance.
Alberto.
Is he still legally married to the other person?
I think he got divorced and married Paige.
Okay.
Alberto Del Rio, Del Patron, Jose Rodriguez, son of Del Scaras, whatever you want to call him. So there was a TMZ recording they got from a witness. They were having a fight in an airport. A lot of people concerned about the fact that this has kind of the hallmarks of domestic violence. She's isolated herself from like friends, from family. We were discussing this off mic before the show. I think if and when something bad happens, the headline will be WWE wrestler ends up in hospital, ends up in grave. I don't think the fact that she's not currently working for the company in a meaningful way will matter. And that's why I think WWE as the kind of corporation they are, they should do it not out of the goodness of their hearts. They should be really working behind the scenes to try to figure out some way to extricate her from this situation.
Yeah, this is no winning in this.
Yeah, so just something to watch for. But it's bad. It's also the 10-year anniversary of Chris Benoit killing his family and himself, which also had a lot of, there was no TMZ covering it, but there was a lot of domestic violence that preceded that incident. It's just one of those things when a one company is not taking care of its employees. I don't know if there's anything they can do here, but it's something we've been talking. We've talked about it before. Paige has had a sex tape that's been mentioned on TV now in the WWE product. So they're playing a little fast and loose with it, and this has a lot of potential to hurt them. And we just hope that everything's okay with Paige. She's a young person and talented. There's really no good way to... I know I didn't want to end with this, but we had to mention it because it's
on
like TMZ.
On a much more positive note, we have an interview with Lauren Vino. Lauren Vino is an old friend of mine. She's a writer and a comic, and you might have read her stuff at MTV. You might have read her stuff at Fatherly, and because she recently wrote about a trip to Chikara.
Chikara.
It's fun. I didn't realize Chikara was family friendly.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't know like that was one of their main selling points. Mm-hmm. So this article is a little bit about that.
That's great. And then if you're in the Chicagoland area, tomorrow, you meet them every
Thursday, July 13th.
If you're in the Trump territory, if you're in the Beltway on July 14th, go to Nova Pro for American Slang. There'll be a ladder match.
You've written about Nova Pro.
I have written about Nova Pro in the Washington City Paper.
If people want to find that, they can...
Search for Nova Pro and City Paper, or Matt Men was the title.
Oh, God.
You're welcome. And I think it was better than was suggested. And that's on...
You need to sell things that no one knew about.
Yeah. So this is a shoot, brother.
What got you into wrestling? Because you weren't a fan until a few years ago.
I got into it for a job at a media company that is now doesn't exist anymore. It was called TV Tag, and then like a bunch of different things. But it was basically like we edited like TV GIFs and like wrote like slick captions on them. Mm-hmm. And no one wanted wrestling. And because I was in stand up and knew a bunch of people that were like, I felt pretty like wrestling adjacent enough where I was like, I could have fun with this and have enough points of reference. And that was right around when the Shield broke, like right after the Shield broke up, CM Punk had left. So it was like a really bad time to like get into wrestling.
Sure.
WWE wrestling. It was like very boring. I'm sure you're like you do this too, where it's just easier to like something you're working on and make yourself find what's enjoyable about it.
So you got into it in like the summer of 2014 then?
Yes, I believe that's true. Yeah, that sounds exactly right, actually.
Okay. So what kept your interest? That's 3 years ago.
Honestly, live shows really like do it for, because I don't like, I mean, part of it was just like the comedy overlap, just because I found it very, very funny. But I think the live show experience really is like what kept me enjoying it on TV, because like I got a sense of from watching it on TV, like I had experienced that live. So like it was, I could see what everyone else was, it helped me understand what was like truly so enjoyable about it.
Have you tried to turn anyone else onto this stuff?
Oh yeah. It's one of my favorite things to do, actually. Like I almost would rather, there's things that's fun about watching wrestling with people that are really into it and know things, but it's almost more fun to be that person, even if you don't know that much. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I feel like watching wrestling with someone who doesn't know anything about it, as long as they're willing to not like just, you know, shit on it for no reason, or like just as long as their only commentary isn't like, you know, it's not real, then it's super fun.
Is there any specific feud or match or pay-per-view that you think is the easiest way to turn on somebody that just thinks it's fake and doesn't understand why you're watching?
Oh my God. So I'm glad you asked that. My favorite thing to tell people about, and I didn't really get that much into the Attitude Era, but I really liked Edge because he's funny. And I really reality TV was kind of a gateway a little bit into wrestling. Like it really like Real Housewives and that kind of stuff sort of like, you know, got me into it. But so the Lita Edge Hardy love triangle is my favorite thing. Absolutely, hands down in wrestling. I talk about it way too much. And if you didn't see it, it was, or if you don't know, it was basically like, Edge and Lita had an affair in real life. She was dating Matt Hardy for a long time and part of their storyline and all of that. And, they had an affair in real life and Matt caught them and freaked out as one would do. And he got fired, temporarily for justifiably freaking out. And then the company brought him back on the condition that he would reenact his heartbreak in the ring. And it was just basically like Edge and Lita simulating sex in the ring. It's, so yeah, that is sort of like, that appeals to my sense of like drama and trashiness and also just like, what is this, you know? So that's kind of like my way in, especially for women. Cause there is like a gossipy drama element to it.
Speaking of love triangles, about 5 years before that storyline happened in real life, there was a different love triangle storyline in real life where China and Triple H were real life together. And then Triple H there you go. He ends up in real life and storyline marrying Stephanie McMahon. And now he's taking photos in the White House. So you're a human being alive.
And she's dead, which is so sad.
So how have you viewed the entire election cycle? Because you got into wrestling at the perfect time to understand what was going on. You didn't have any weird childhood attachments to it. You were able to appreciate it as an adult. And you've also, you're a person. How do you feel right now knowing that the leader of the free world is in the WWE Hall of Fame?
So many feelings. Well, first of all, I told you about how I got into wrestling at that like weird random tweeting job.
Yes.
At that job, during that time, I mean, this comes up a lot over and over in wrestling, the phrase, you're fired. And I can't actually, I'm not entirely sure if Donald Trump got that from wrestling or if wrestling got that from Donald Trump. Like, I don't know where the synergy from that, like where the first you're fired was from, but I feel like those have always been like inextricably, those have always been like connected. And I remember tweeting like a GIF with you're fired and like interacting with pre-president Donald Trump from this like company account. So he was like, so when he got elected, weirdly enough, I did think of that. And I went back and tried to find that tweet just to be like, oh, wait, that did happen. this person is the president now. But how do I feel about it? It shouldn't make it feel less real, but it does. And I think that might be the wrestling component of it. Because it is, it's kind of a convenient defense mechanism to be a wrestling fan right now, because it like kind of makes it seem a little less real, even though it's, you know, very, very real.
I'm with you. Like, the stuff that stresses out a lot of people, we've already seen that in the storyline. Nothing is shocking. We know mm-hmm. how this is going to end. But it's hard to portray that to people that aren't knowledgeable about this stuff. What is something that's happened since he's taken office where it really freaked out the rest of the country, but you stayed calm because you kind of knew how it would end?
I guess healthcare, and I don't really know how it will end, I don't think that that felt like more like smoke and mirrors to me. And but honestly, I think that's the scary part. Is it's like I want to know, or like there's certain things that are familiar, but I guess it's comforting only to a point. Because I don't know how things will end, the depressing comfort is like, you know, this idea of the authority always winning, mm-hmm. where it's not necessarily like with the healthcare thing, it's not like he's not necessarily going to ruin it, like, but it's also making everything like you know what I mean? He's not like, it's not as bad as people thought yet, this idea of like when Trump got elected, everyone being like, nothing is going to change ultimately because the president doesn't have any actual real power. So it's, to me, like that sort of comfort, it's bleak, but it is like the authority isn't necessarily Trump. It's the status quo. And that I think is, I don't always agree with it. Like when people are like, oh, nothing is going to change because there's a lot of stuff happening that is fucked up and like scary. But I think that's the comfort aspect, at least as the most as I can like relate it to wrestling, is the sense that like, well, you know, symbolically, like, yeah, he is the president and an authority figure, but I do think that the sort of broader, like, authority in terms of wrestling is just, like, things will be the way they've always been, you know?
Sure.
And people with money will be in charge.
Are you at all surprised that the WWE has not mentioned that the leader of the free world is in their Hall of Fame?
No, not necessarily, because I think that, like, I think they ultimately realized that that would be bad for business, not to borrow one of their phrases. But I mean, I don't think that, like, I think wrestling is such, like, wrestling audiences are, more broad and diverse than people think.
This is a great time to transition to what you recently wrote for Fatherly, which is about another wrestling organization that maybe caters to a different type of wrestling fan and is a little more family friendly.
I went to Chikara, which was I had seen only one show of theirs before in New York, which it was honestly, like I mentioned, like live shows before, but was probably one of the best wrestling shows I had been to. And so I didn't really pitch it per se. I was just talking about it and it wasn't really, and then explaining a couple of the gimmicks to some of my coworkers, and they were like, you have to go. So yeah, we just went out there and tried to do like a little fun piece about sort of how truly catering the product to kids actually just makes it better for everyone. And sort of just the idea of like, when you take away the shock value, all that's really left to stand on is like quality and performance. And they really do a good job of all of that.
Why do you think more people don't know about it? Is it intentional? Is it because it's just incredibly difficult to disassociate WWE with professional wrestling? Is it because it's not violent? Wait, why isn't this a bigger deal?
I think in some ways, I mean, I know, I'm sure they want to make money, but maybe that there's a level of being okay with like a modest success. I think it might, honestly, I think it's probably just the fact that like they only have so many people and can fill so many rooms in so many cities. I think it's just probably like a resource thing. And, you know, when you're not trying to be a competing, like, so like they're trying to compete with other like independent wrestling promotion, but they're not trying, none of these smaller players are really trying to take on the WWE. It's more all of them against this big giant. And when you look at all of them together, like Chikara and all of the sort of other promotions, kid friendly or not, I think as a whole, they definitely are getting more popular for sure. I've definitely noticed that in the past 2 years since becoming a fan, is that like people, even when people complain about the WWE sucking, everyone's, it's not like, oh, they should do this differently. They should hire different people. It's, you should support better wrestling somewhere else. Like that's what I hear more and more as a wrestling fan. When I started watching in like 2014, I didn't really get that. So I feel like that's slowly something I've noticed, but also something that's like happened more recently as well.
Are people talking to you about GLOW because you are their you might be their one woman wrestling fan?
I love that GLOW just came out. I am very sad that I finished it so quickly. No, I think it's great. I think it's awesome. I think it really communicates the earnestness of what it is, because I think people want to think of it as something silly. And part of what helped me get out of that, it is silly, and it's the silliness is wonderful about it, but the physicality of it and the intensity of all of it, and just the general storytelling, I think, gets like overshadowed by the silliness. No, I think Glow is great. I think they could have made that about men, and it wouldn't have, and they could have done all of the best things, all the same things, and produced it just as well. But I do think that, like, it being about women kind of made it better. I don't know if it was because it gave it, like, if it made more, I don't really know. I think it maybe took people out of what they consider as conventional wrestling. I think that might be it, because when you think of like WWE and stuff like that, there's women wrestlers, but that's not the first thing mainstream non-wrestling fans think of. They think of Hulk Hogan and stuff like this. So I think that kind of just visual of like girls that they could hang out with doing it, like, kind of humanized it a little bit and made, like, maybe audiences pay attention to a different part of the process.
Let's end this on a very positive, fun note. If you liked Glow and you're listening to this because of Glow and because of politics, who is a WWE superstar that you think people will love, people will find a connection to in the same way that Glow is connecting with people?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. I think like Bayley and Sasha Banks are probably the most obvious. The female wrestlers that like get pushed are usually, you know, there hasn't been a really at least edgy one, you know, that like I've been into. It's been mostly like, I mean, and WWE is just pretty squeaky clean now. Mm-hmm. So most of them are like the ones that you can see like little girls looking up to. So I think Sasha, Bailey. I think Sasha Banks is cool too, because she's not like from a wrestling family. And she just like kind of did it. And I think Alexa Bliss also has like a, she didn't want to be a wrestler, but just kind of fell into it. So yeah, I think that kind of backstory is pretty cool.
People could follow you where, they could read you where, they should see you where.
You can follow me at Lauren Nino on Twitter, and read me at Fatherly.